Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this 30th day of October, calendar year 2014. Very nice to have you with us and very nice to have our panel with us as well. I will introduce them in just a moment. Before I do that, however, let me welcome you to write to us and to be a part of our conversation that we conduct over the next hour. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, Joe. How's things?
Things are very, very nice. Thank you for asking. Political consultant Libby Post is with us. Good morning, Libby.
Yo, Joe.
And
Mojo.
I looked up and it sounded like
Libby
was
to Brooklyn.
Like checking your phone.
I had to send a text. But Yojo.
Yay. And executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, Stu Shinsky. We love when he's here.
Top of the morning, Joseph.
Hello, sir. Oh, rest of the day to yourself. Thank you very much for being here. We have lots to talk about, and again, we welcome you to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. All right. Let us start with the story about the main nurse. She's a very polarizing figure. Mm-hmm. Some people are on Team Casey, while others are not. She went to Maine, and Maine Governor Paul LePage is looking for ways to force her, Casey Hickox, to release from mandatory Ebola isolation in New Jersey to abide by a similar 21-day quarantine in Maine. And the Office of the Governor has been working collaboratively with the state health officials within the Department of Health and Human Services to seek legal authority to enforce the quarantine. And just as we were coming on the air, it was reported by news outlets that the swarms of camera crews outside, she left the house, she got on a bike, and she took off, and now she's riding around the state of Maine.
Oops.
That's all right.
Well, I'm glad that wasn't me, because it usually is.
Yeah. Well, it's like a transistor radio. That sounds cool. The question is, what do we make of this? And where should we side with this woman?
Well, her contention is that she's fine. She thinks she can do what she wants. The larger concern is, what if she's not, and it just hasn't shown up yet? Will she, in fact, be putting others at risk? The CDC calls for monitoring. Other people are going a little more conservative, saying quarantine is the way to go. I think time is going to tell here, but in the meantime, there's no clear policy, and someone needs to take charge of the situation.
So who is that somebody, I guess, is the big question. Because right now it's trying to be the state of Maine is trying to be that person. They're not getting, and this is sort of one of the things that Governor Cuomo had said, look, we're dealing with this, and yet there is no firm CDC policy, and we need to.
Well, in theory, it is supposed to be the CDC. Right. In theory, it is. That's what they're there for. The New York State Department of Health has weighed in. The governor has weighed in. This is not just a New York State issue. I mean, this one story alone is concerning Maine. The governor is involved there. It's concerning New Jersey. Chris Christie has weighed in there. Where is the federal leadership and authority here to say, look, we've researched this. We are in control of the situation. The CDC is not in control of the situation.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, one moment I'm on one side and another moment.
You're straddling the fence in this?
Well, no. I mean, I think in her particular case, she's ticked off and has every reason to be. And I do think that the science is becoming increasingly clear here that, you know, that if you get to the stage she's at without showing any signs, she's fine. At least that's the way I look. But I do understand that the United States government, no matter what the CDC has said, is bringing its military back now and saying, you're going to be under quarantine. They're saying it for a reason. Now, I don't wish to be illiberal, unliberal, or tick anybody off. But, there are several thousands of people in Africa who have transmitted this disease to others. And we have to be extraordinarily careful because once it starts, it's going to be hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
She is, the interesting thing is, Alan, you mentioned she's ticked off, she's upset, and has threatened legal action on several fronts in this case, both of what she endured in New Jersey and what is happening to her in Maine. So that should be interesting as well to see how
That
goes.
That's true, because if, in fact, it turns out that it's unconstitutional to put somebody into a quarantine without the proper state laws or federal laws, then you're going to see a mass rush to set it all right, to define, you know, what how this has to be done, due process of law, how you set it up.
You know, I think that people get hysterical about this. That's what I've been saying that for a while. I also think that this nurse is just acting out in a way that's not responsible and does not reflect well on healthcare workers, and especially the people who've gone to work in West Africa to fight the disease. And, you know, I can only imagine you're there for 6 months doing this work. You know, it's pretty dreary. You get back to the United States, you want to go out, you want to do things, you want to be social again, you want to see your friends. But on the flip of this, you know, she has no one counseling her clearly about the PR value of what she's doing and how damaging it can be in the long run for folks, because her actions of going out, not caring, saying she's going to sue, you know, while I think she was treated unfairly, you know, just will just feed into the hysteria of we need to quarantine, we need to clamp down, you know, nobody's doing anything, blah, 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 blah. So, well, you know, there's that kind of...
Well, you know, Libby, your point is very well taken. As a representative of the medical healing class, she might have a different responsibility. But, you know, I've been around long enough. I know Stu and Joe and you have. Somebody gets hit by the fickle finger of fame.
Yes, right.
And
it
becomes
goes to their head.
Almost aphrodisiac. Almost like an aphrodisiac.
Yes.
You sort of say, well, you know, the world is watching me.
Right. Everyone pay attention to me now.
Right.
You know, if I could offer an example that every parent in the world can relate to, I have a school-age daughter. The directions from her teacher is that if the kid is sick, don't send her to school. She might get others sick. That's just not for my daughter. That's for everybody's kid. So if it could work in a third-grade class or a fifth-grade class, why can't it work on something more serious? If there's a possible exposure, do something about it. Take action. Contain it.
Has the Poughkeepsie Journal editorialized on this?
We have not necessarily gotten deep into this issue, but we have urged caution and leadership and not hysteria on the reporting. And we have done two local stories on Ebola in the last 6 weeks, basically saying it's not an issue in our area. Be careful. Be informed.
And let's assume somebody gets off a plane and it does become an issue in your area, then what would the attitude of the newspaper be?
I think we would have to definitely look at what the quarantine regulations are. We have a lot of commuters in our area from Dutchess County, about 75 miles north of New York City, and they go back and forth to work in New York City and Westchester County every day.
Indeed.
They take the trains. So this guy, one of the doctors, was on the subway. There is a great chance that someone from our region may have been in the vicinity where he was at some point. That's not going to get you Ebola, but it does get on people's mind. So what's the situation here? You know what? You may not be in direct contact, but if you're in that area, it's going to be on your mind. That is the situation people need to think about and be informed about and to back off from the cliff on.
With that, we'll take a break, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We will continue our conversation and listen to your letters as well. We'll read them. That's what I mean. We'll read. You listen. That's the way that works. We'll be back after this break.
Support comes from Godfrey Financial Associates, Latham, New York. For nearly 20 years, providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond. Independent, woman-owned financial firm. GodfreyFinancial.com. Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, Troy, New York, hosting BOSS, Business Opportunities to Success Summit. More than 50 CEOs, senior executives, and entrepreneurs discussing and providing insight about their businesses. November 12th. BOSS518.com for registration. And the Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School, Hadley, Massachusetts, working to prepare students for the global economy. pvcics.org for information on 6th and 9th grade enrollment.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable discussion this morning. Stu Shinsky, Libby Post, Alan Chartok. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, what do you have to report to us?
What you mean in terms of the mail?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So James has written in, says something. This seems simple. Don't we have the technology in this day and age to have a remote monitor check temperature twice daily and send that info back to a healthcare facility via Wi-Fi? Seems simple to let her go about like normal, having the monitoring for 21 days, have her temperature measured remotely in case of user bias, have a person check on her every week. If something develops, then continue the quarantine. Sorry that it's a long email. If you think, James, that that is a long email, let me tell you, I just got one which I sent back for revisions. I sent, no, this is way too long. Put it in a paragraph. There's
nothing. One chapter, please, folks. One chapter.
There is nothing that can be done that can't be done in a paragraph.
Yes.
And then Michael says, dear Alan, please recall the adage that military intelligence is an oxymoron. Okay. And Philip says, this is a classic libertarian argument. In other words, where is the boundary between the rights of the individual and the rights of the community? Your right to swing your arms ends where my nose begins, doesn't it? P.S. The science is clear. Quarantine is unnecessary. And then I think that's, what do you think? Oh, no, here's Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny G, a clarinet player, comes in. How many times does one have to state that this nurse in Maine is not sick? She exhibits no symptoms. That's in big block letters. Ebola is only contagious when symptoms are present. Those are the facts. Back off. And Jill says, just because the military is quarantining their troops for 21 days doesn't mean they were in the stricken areas, doesn't make it right. I've heard some of the troops never came in contact with patients at all, let alone Ebola patients' bodily fluid. The nurse is asymptomatic. She should go free. If no one trusted us to self-monitor, have a health official take her temp. If she starts showing symptoms, she should go straight to the hospital. She is still not contagious enough to infect anyone else at that early stage. But no symptoms, let her be.
This is all based on what we know now. Are we going to find something out in 3 weeks that's going to change this discourse?
Maybe, but I want to know where Mr. Klain is.
The czar.
The Ebola czar. Where is he? What's he doing? You haven't heard anything from him.
He's under quarantine.
Since he was appointed. So what's going on?
That's a great point. I don't.
It's you know, the like, point has been made in almost every newspaper. The Daily News is.
I mean, I don't get it.
Kerfuddle.
I don't get it. Yeah. So
he's looking for the key to unlock his desk.
Well, you know who he was. He was the debate prep guy in 2012, and now he's not that. I don't want to criticize, but now he's the Ebola czar. I mean,
I'm sure he's an intelligent guy, but I don't believe he has an MD.
Well, Gloria says, having hundreds of doctors and nurses return from West Africa before this without any outbreak of Ebola, just asking.
This is true.
Gloria.
Absolutely true.
Right. And like that. That's what she said. And Maddie says, I'm of two minds. The nurse is a professional and knows the symptoms. I think she's doing a service in a way by minimizing hysteria. On the other hand, with Skype and phones, is 21 days so long? And that's from Madeline. But you know, go ahead.
Do you think she's really doing anything to minimize hysteria? In fact,
I think she's become the focus of it. You know.
Absolutely.
Well, I think to be fair, Madeline's point is
I understand Madeline's
point. Is that she's showing that this is a bunch of hooey.
Absolutely. But if that is her intention, I don't know that it's working, because certainly she's by getting out there and
Maine,
hopping on
folks
the bike
from Maine are fiercely independent. As we all know.
Yes.
And Donna
ordering said, on libertarian.
So. Yeah. And Donna says, one of the panelists mentioned schools advising parents to keep sick children home so others don't get sick and stated if it works for third grade, why can't it work here? I believe that was you, Stushinsky.
That was me.
This supports the nurse's point. You don't keep your child home when she's feeling fine, but her sister is sick. But I'm thinking that a lot of people, you know, there's an assumption here that everybody is going to be honest. Right? Mm-hmm. So, Libby, you're one of our AIDS experts here. has everybody who ever had AIDS, has anybody ever failed to tell their prospective partners that they have AIDS? You know, so has anybody ever had intercourse? Is that a word you can use on the air?
I guess.
Yeah,
yes.
I guess you just did it.
Yes.
But it has an infectious disease of some kind and,
sure.
and forgot any, to tell their
any
partners.
Any kind of STD.
Sure.
Any kind of STD. Clap. You know, HPV,
sure.
Any of those things.
Sure.
You know, yes, not everybody is honest with their
partners.
Sexual partners.
Yep.
We have more letters. We'll get to them on the other side of the break. We're going to stop and hear NPR News for a few moments, and then we will return. We have many other topics to discuss as well. We welcome your letters, as always, roundtable@wamc.org. It's very simple. All you have to do is write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, and we read them, and maybe we'll even send them back for revisions.
But keep them short.
But yeah, but if you keep them short, we don't have to send them back for revisions. We'll just accept them as is. Libby, Alan, Stu are all here. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. And we have been spending a lot of time on Ebola, but we want to get to as many other topics as we can. So we will we'll lightning round through a lot of other things and let our panel discuss these issues. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. So a story in the New York Times this morning.
I just wanted to say one thing. Libby and I just wanted to say one thing. Yesterday we discussed who was going to win the World
Series. Oh, that was my last story.
And we were right.
And it turns out Libby and I were right. But my rationale got two letters in which people said, you can't decide on who's going to win based on what city they come from.
Sure you can.
I said, yes, you can. Don't you see? and then it turned out we were right.
People vote for president based on cuteness. So right. I have no problem with your methodology.
People bet on horses because of the colors. Though,
right.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And I always root for San Francisco.
Can't argue with the results.
Mm-hmm. But we have nothing against...
Kansas City's a great story.
Actually, I do.
Good for them. Great story in Kansas City.
Great.
What do you have against Kansas City?
I don't know.
Great barbecue.
They're not the Giants.
Oh, all right.
It's the gay city thing for me, honestly.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's the same.
With me, it's the food.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But, you
like
know, for me, it's the community.
The chocolate too.
I would have
liked to have seen.
I would have liked to.
I was rooting for the Royals just because it's been so long.
Yes.
But seven games and it came down to the last inning.
Oh,
three
it
to
was
two,
great.
One
couldn't
run,
ask for more in a World Series.
And it was a perfect World Series. Yeah. A perfect way to end the 2014
that,
baseball
the
season.
The error getting the guy on third and I mean
down to
biter.
The wire. It was
yes.
a nail biter down to the
great.
End, and it was what you would want of two perfectly matched teams mm-hmm. going up against each other. It was
neither
really,
which
really
won
great.
Their divisions, right?
No, they didn't. They were wild cards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. both wild cards. It's
that
a
goes
great...
to show something, doesn't it?
Goes to show Major League Baseball makes a lot of money off of the wild card setup they've enacted.
Yeah.
That's what it goes to show.
It is.
I mean, how come if you're the wild card? If you're the wild card,
because,
and you don't win your division,
because David beat Goliath that day.
Yeah, because
right,
that's the way they set it up.
You have to be. You have to be the
in that one day, that one game,
the game that is
right.
necessary.
I mean, that's how they set it up to keep the season going. I mean, I remember the World Series used to be done in September.
But yes. doesn't that delegitimize? If you think about it, doesn't it delegitimize the whole concept of who's the champion of the league?
Some
like
people
do-over.
Say it dilutes the competition, and that if you're number one in your division, you should play for the top, not the team that was number two. The issue is that because of the divisions, you can have one team in the Eastern mm-hmm. Division that has a lesser record than a team in another division, but the other team gets in. So it's
well,
this
football
is designed
does
to
it.
Deal. Yeah, every
I mean,
professional league does
sports
it.
Do
I don't
it.
Like and, it one bit.
Yeah. And
okay.
Back to Ebola.
Who were you rooting for?
In the World Series, I was putting my New York Mets passion behind the Kansas City Royals.
Okay. Did you feel in watching the game?
Well, the Mets will never win, so I have to go somewhere.
No, they're going to win again.
Not when I'm alive.
In watching the coverage last night, did you feel it was very? And I asked this question just out of curiosity because I felt this way, and I didn't know if any other rational human being felt this way, because I don't think I was.
I'm not rational.
But do you feel that the Fox coverage of it was very skewed to the Giants?
I didn't. I didn't. I've enjoyed Joe Buck as an announcer. I know some people detest him.
I would be one of those people.
Yes.
So okay.
I did not perceive that, but you know, you can look at water and say that it's clear or it's black.
I know.
So, you know, it's
I thought it was good coverage. Yeah. I just thought there was a point where I expected Bumgarner to walk across the water and part the sea.
Bumgarner certainly got the praise, but you know what? Yeah. He was the World Series MVP, and what he did in this World Series
is on
a plateau
really
that few have achieved.
And it was amazing to watch.
Yes.
I mean, it was a great baseball moment to
gutty
watch.
Gutty baseball.
Absolutely.
And
that's
I would point out
what baseball's supposed to be.
I would point out there was a Dutchess County native, Joe Panic, on the World Champion San Francisco Giants, a graduate of John Jay High School in Dutchess County, grew up in Hopewell Junction, New York.
Did you guys do a story on that?
We've done 600,000 stories on that.
And two on a bowl.
More to come.
Right. And just two on a bowl.
Just two
Where
on a bowl,
are your
yes.
priorities?
Yes.
Is there going to be a homecoming?
We do understand that he will be returning to Dutchess County sometime in the next few weeks, yes.
All right. Do you believe that the president could I guess what I took out of the story in the New York Times this morning was the concern about this cascade of crises that the president may be considering replacing the Secretary of State.
When it happens, we'll
do it. To what end? And by the way, we got a very strong letter from Ray Graff.
Ray Graff, I know him.
Oh, strong letter saying...
Ray Graff of Albany writes.
Ray Graff of Albany. Stu is wrong. The Mets will, in big capital letters, win it all next year.
I hope so.
Or the year after that, or...
Or 2095. Actually, my Mets have looked a little better in recent years, and my summer of aggravation may
look at 69. Remember, it was just yesterday, 69.
I was tiny 86. In 1969. I was in kindergarten.
I was old.
I remember 1986.
I remember 86.
Who was President Eisenhower in 1986? Is that long ago?
I, too, am a Mets fan because I grew up on Long Island. I assume you did,
I
too.
I did as well.
You know, and that's what it was. It was the Mets.
Yes.
And I always, my hope springs eternal every spring. And then when the leaves turn, I'm done.
The thing with the Mets is that the season's usually over by Easter. Sometimes Mother's Day when it's a good year.
They invested with Madoff.
Depends on when Easter
they
is.
They did. But, well,
yes, yes. You know,
they
it's
did.
Just, yeah.
The money
early March, it can be
late
April. Yeah.
I love my Mets.
So who knows what the president's going to do? We won't know until he decides what he's going
to
do.
To what end?
I don't think these crises are any different than any other president has faced. I think, you know, his management style isn't the shoot from the hip management style of George Bush, and so people think that he's not doing anything. So, you know, will there be changes? I'm sure there will. There always are.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to see changes in the top cap. And you
years.
Know what? They will be unemployed when Mr. Obama leaves the White House, so they may be looking at other opportunities already.
Right.
So in we would assume all of this will come after the elections, probably around the holiday or in the new year, and we'll see what happens. But it's interesting, as they say, through all these crises, these meetings are taking place as to the line that I thought was interesting in the Times article was that they are battle-tested but exhausted.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Absolutely.
Anyone in that job wouldn't
be. Yeah, I mean, look at Obama. You know, he's gotten so gray. And, you know, it ages you. There's no two ways about it. That job ages you.
Let's go to other topics, unless you have letters on.
We have one letter I want to read. We have lots of letters, but I want to read one letter. Duncan's fiancée cleaned up his vomit, lived in the apartment for 4 days, and he was finally hospitalized and did not get Ebola. There is currently one case in this country. The Roundtable could do a great service by talking about other issues. May I just point out that we have received more letters, more participation, and more angst over this issue than anything else we have ever done here. I'd like to say that in our own defense.
It's amazing.
It's a talker.
It is. Thank you, Stu. It is a talker. I agree with you. In a series of sweeping campaigns to revive the American economy, the Federal Reserve has spent much of the last 6 years purchasing trillions of dollars of bonds. Okay. Now it is done. The Fed said on Wednesday that the economy no longer needed quite so much help. It is the third time since 2008 the Fed has announced such a move, but this time officials and analysts say the decision is more likely to stick, signaling an important milestone in the nation's painfully slow recovery from the Great Recession. So this returning is, to interest rates.
This is quantitative easing, I believe, is the technical phrase.
Uh-oh. For us old people, you know, who might, I'm not saying I am, but might someday want to retire. You know, every time something like this happens, you watch for the market to react. So far, so good.
Yes.
But did it work? I mean, in essence, it worked. Was it the right thing to do? That could be discussed, but I think it worked. The economy did rebound, not just for only this factor, but several other factors as well. The bailouts of GM and the banks and other stuff certainly contributed. But it worked. Are we in a better place than we were 4 years ago? I think economically we're far from perfect, but I think we're in a better place at this
point.
But
the polls don't show that. The polls, when you ask the average American, they don't believe that.
And each household, yes, it may well be a very different story.
Yeah. Yeah, but and there's been no inflation except, I believe, that a soda, a pop, as we used to say, a pop is going to cost $10.50 for a small.
Well, that's not because of this. That's because of people not wanting you to drink sugar.
And so they're getting, what it
it's
is?
Like taxes on cigarettes.
There has been inflation. I don't know. They keep telling us there's been no inflation, but I think
prices have gone up. Yeah. Food prices have definitely gone up.
Yeah, and it is fake money. I mean, this is not like, you know, actual. I mean, it, in essence, it's they create a sort of fake money.
It's quantitative easing.
Easing, yes. Yes.
QE, as they call it.
AKA, it's fake money, and they used it strategically.
But as you said, you know, the bailout of the banks help this, and then the next thing, the next story is the prosecutors are going after Wall Street again because the banks are acting poorly again.
Oh yeah, well I wonder why.
Yeah, I know.
They got away with it.
They got away with it.
Too big to fail. Too big to fail, and they're gonna keep on doing it while they can.
Do whatever they want.
Stu, Libby, Alan, thank you all. Appreciate it.
Disgusting.
You're listening to.
Is that your final word?
Yes.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.